I thought of the head of steam when the cook lifted the lid from the rice cooker in the kitchen of our okya. I saw a picture in my mind of the little alleyway that was the main thoroughfare of Pontocho, as I'd seen it one evening crowded with well-wishers after Kichi Saburo's last performance the day he'd retired from the Kabuki Theater. I'm sure I might have thought of 100 other things, for it was as if all the boundaries in my mind had broken down and my memories were running free. But then the chairman leaned back away from me again, with one of his hands upon my neck. He was so close I could see the moisture glistening on his lip and still smell the kiss we'd just ended. "Chairman," I said, "why?"
"Why what?"
"Why everything. Why have you kissed me? You've just been speaking of me as a gift to Nobu-san."
"Nobu gave you up, Sayuri. I've taken nothing away from him."
In my confusion of feelings, I couldn't quite understand what he meant.
"When I saw you there with the minister, you had a look in your eyes, just like the one I saw so many years ago at the Shirakawa stream," he told me. "You seemed so desperate, like you might drown if someone didn't save you. After Pumpkin told me you'd intended the encounter for Nobu's eyes, I made up my mind to tell him what I'd seen. And when he reacted so angrily, well, if he couldn't forgive you for what you'd done, it was clear to me he was never truly your destiny."
One afternoon, back when I was a child in Yoroido, a little boy named Gisuki climbed a tree to jump into the pond. He climbed much higher than he should have. The water wasn't deep enough. But when we told him not to jump, he was afraid to climb back down because of rocks under the tree. I ran to the village to find his father, Mr. Yamashita, who came walking so calmly up the hill, I wondered if he realized what danger his son was in. He stepped underneath the tree just as the boy, unaware of his father's presence, lost his grip and fell. Mr. Yamashita caught him as easily as if someone had dropped a sack into his arms and set him upright. We all of us cried out in delight and skipped around at the edge of the pond while Gisuki stood blinking his eyes very quickly, little tears of astonishment gathering on his lashes. Now I knew exactly what Gisuki must have felt. I had been plummeting toward the rocks and the chairman had stepped out to catch me. I was so overcome with relief I couldn't even wipe away the tears that spilled from the corners of my eyes. His shape was a blur before me, but I could see him moving closer, and in a moment he'd gathered me up in his arms, just as if I were a blanket. His lips went straight for the little triangle of flesh where the edges of my kimono came together at my throat, and when I felt his breath on my neck, and the sense of urgency with which he almost consumed me, I couldn't help thinking of a moment years earlier when I'd stepped into the kitchen of the okya and found one of the maids leaning over the sink, trying to cover up the ripe pear she held to her mouth, its juices running down onto her neck. She'd had such a craving for it, she'd said, and begged me not to tell Mother.